This episode of Fireside Chat is brought to you by TickTix. Buying tickets shouldn't be anonymous. We are built for fans, by fans. Available on Android and iOS. Are you ready? Sea of Red, it's time for another Fireside Chat, the official podcast of Flames fans. It's go time.
This special episode of Fireside Chat is brought to you by Pro Stock Hockey. Do you need new hockey gear? Go Pro Stock. Our friends at ProStockHockey.com offer the largest online selection of real Pro Stock Hockey equipment, including equipment from our very own Calgary Flames. Sticks, gloves, pants, and much more are available right now for a fraction of the retail cost. Shop ProStockHockey.com today and get three rolls of tape free with every stick purchase. Pro Stock Hockey. If the pros don't use it, we don't sell it.
So here we are. I'm Dan alongside Matt as always. And today we're at Winsport for the Calgary Flames Rookie Development Camp. It's kind of weird being in the rink beginning of July. Matt, we've got a lot to talk about, though. Before we get to the development camp, we should probably recap July 1st.
It was a rather uneventful day. The Flames signed five players on the first day of free agency and then one more the second day. First off, we'll start with the more depth signings for the Calgary Flames, starting with Alan Quine. He was a player that was originally drafted by the Detroit Red Wings in 2011 in the third round, and then subsequently in 2013 after re-entering the draft in the sixth round by the New York Islanders. He made the NHL in 2015-2016, but had his best season in 2016-2017, scoring 18 points in 61 games. Last year was an injury-filled campaign for him, where he only played 21 games at the NHL level and four at the AHL level, collecting three assists.
So we probably bought cheap on this guy.
Yeah, and he's a player that I've liked him since he was in Detroit in their system. It's just one of those situations where he needs to show more consistency. There's flashes of skill with him, and I think that he'll be brought in primarily just to be the 13th guy or one of the top players in Stockton.
Yeah, I don't even know if this guy's going to make the team. I think he's going to start the year in Stockton. He's got a two-way deal, so I think the anticipation is they'll be in Stockton.
Yeah, and I think that they'll give him a shot alongside a whole host of different prospects and players to earn the 13th or 14th roster spot.
And this is a one-year deal for Quine. One-year, two-way, it's about $700,000. So even if he is the 13th forward, a very reasonable cost for a 13th forward.
Exactly. And sometimes you just need a different change of scenery. Sometimes you click with a new team. And if not, he'll be a very serviceable player in Stockton.
Who's next, Matt?
Another center, Tyler Grajovac. More of a physical-ish player. He played with the Minnesota Wild in 2016-2017, played 52 games and scored 9 points. More of a fourth line guy. He only played 5 games last year with Washington. He's an all right depth guy. There's flashes again, but not as prolific of a player.
This is one of the guys I can see from that physical side taking over a lot of what maybe we lost in Ferland.
Yeah, potentially. Not the same offensive upside. Especially like more in Stockton. He's not a fighter in any way, shape, or form, but he does play a little bit of a physical brand of hockey, and he is 6'5", so he can play that way. It's just more organizational depth than anything.
And the next guy I think is probably the best of this group, sort of minor signings to probably make the team, and that's Buddy Robinson.
Yeah, he's a high school teammate of Johnny Gaudreau. Played 7 games in total in the NHL with 2 points with Ottawa, and he spent his last season with the Manitoba Moose, scoring 53 points in 74 games. Another offensively talented player for Stockton,
and another two-way deal.
Yeah, and another potential player to play in the NHL.
The one thing I find interesting here is this was a two-year deal from what I saw reported. Two-year, two ways. So they obviously want to bring this guy in for a little bit longer. I can see him starting in Stockton, but I can also see them pushing him for that number 13 spot.
Yeah, well, with both Robinson and Grejovac, they're both very big players, and I think that that'll be important for Stockton to have guys that are a little on the larger side, even if they're not necessarily fighters, guys that will protect some of the smaller players like Phillips, Dubé, Mangiapane, that are not as big.
I think in the modern NHL, we're not going to see a lot of fighters anymore.
No.
I mean, we're seeing that role going away. I think you've got the guys like, I always look back to Jerome Iginla, a guy when he wants to drop the mitts was dominant, but I don't think you're going to have a lot of the McGrattans on your team anymore who are paid to fight.
True. But as long as they can play a little bit of that rough and tumble game and protect when necessary, that's the important thing.
And now for the three players that are probably going to make the NHL, three bigger names.
Yeah.
The first one being Austin Zarnik. He signed a two-year deal at $1.25 million per year.
Yeah, he was one of the flashy NCAA guys a few years ago, and he signed with Boston. I think back then the Flames were interested in signing him, and the Flames definitely were trying to acquire him at the trade deadline. He scored 69 points in 64 AHL games and 4 assists in 10 NHL games. Never really got much of an offensive opportunity with the Bruins. He's a right shooting center who can also play right wing. He's 5'9", 160. He's a player that I'm sure will get an opportunity to play on the power play at some point with Calgary. And with all of his advanced stats, there are other players like Yanni Gourde in Tampa Bay that have a similar profile to him that eventually, once given the opportunity, broke out. And Gourde scored 25 goals for the Lightning this past season. And Zarnik could potentially be that type of a player. It's just that he's never been given a full, high-quality shot at the NHL level.
Well, I think that might be a problem here, too. If you look at the depth on this team, I can't see him playing much higher in line four.
It is possible. If the Flames decide to keep Elias Lindholm at the center ice position, then they could conceivably put Zarnik on either the first or second line, whichever line that Neil is not on.
I think Zarnik, I can actually see this guy, and I mean, you know that I'm higher on Lazar than a lot of people, but I can actually see Zarnik being a really good line mate for Curtis Lazar.
Yeah, if Lazar makes the team.
Yeah, I think Lazar is going to be on your fourth line, but we'll see. The next player, this guy's pretty much the new Matt Stajan. He's making the same money. Derek Ryan signs here from, no surprise, the Carolina Hurricanes, where our new coach comes from. He signed a three-year deal worth $3.1 million each year.
Yeah, the exact same dollars that Matt Stajan was earning this past season is what Derek Ryan will make.
Ryan's a little older than most of our signings, too. He's a 30-year-old.
Yeah. Well, he's a weird player in that he played at the University of Alberta, then went over to Austria, then to Sweden, and then eventually made the NHL. And he has excelled at every level he's been at, and it took him a while to develop into a high-quality player. But he had 38 points last year in 80 games, which is fairly good. He was relied on as being a second and third line player for the Hurricanes, and I think that he will be a very versatile player for Calgary. He can play both the right wing and center. He's a right shooting player, just like Zarnik, and I think that you'll see him shift between the second, third, and fourth line at various positions, primarily taking faceoffs. He's one of the top faceoff guys in the NHL. And he might get some power play time. He'll definitely get penalty killing time. And he's just a solid all-around player. So that's definitely a necessary depth piece for the Flames to add.
Yeah, a little bit more than I'd want to pay him. Apparently he took a bit of a discount to come play with Peters again. But I think overall, $3.1 million, I think he's going to bring enough to our... I think the big key here is going to be special teams. I think he's going to bring enough to our special teams that we're not going to regret paying him that in the end. I think in the end he's going to project to be mostly a third line guy. I think he might get some looks on the second line if there's injuries and stuff, but I think they'll play him third line so he has a few less minutes on the even strength so they can play him more on special teams.
Yeah, I think that you're more likely to see Backlund and Frolik out there more than Ryan, but he is a versatile player and he does have some offensive capabilities with being nearly a half point a game player that you can easily throw him in a top six position and he will do all right. And whereas like depth players from like this past season with Stajan, Lazar, Brower, Hathaway, like that just was not there. And
yeah, I think for me, Ryan's one of these guys that if we get an injury or we, you know, someone needs a night off, you could probably put him on the top six for a week or two and be fine. But I think if he's a regular top six guy, I'm not sure that he's the right guy for that.
Yeah, he's just a solid all around middle six player. Not a top line player, but not a bottom line player. Just, you know, he can fill any position in the middle six.
And now it's the player we're all waiting for. We knew going into this, the Calgary Flames need to address some high level, not some depth, but a high level top six position
on
the right.
Frankly, the day that the Flames traded Jerome Iginla, they needed a shooter in the organization. And it's taken them all this time to finally get one. And they got one of the top scorers in the NHL, James Neal.
5-year deal, $5.75 million per year. So, I mean, really, if you look around the league at top line right wingers, I haven't done all the math, but he's got to probably be the cheapest.
Yeah, and he's been on teams over since 2014-2015 that are primarily defensively oriented. So, like, if you look at Nashville, they never had a high amount of offensive skill. Vegas, it was, they only have a couple of high-end players. So the fact that he's coming into Calgary and going to be playing primarily with Gaudreau and Monahan or with Tkachuk and probably Lindholm, like, there are options there where he did not have in either of those two cities. And you have to go back basically to when he was playing with Malkin, where he had a player of that caliber on his line consistently.
Well, I know that Bill Peters wants to try out a whole bunch of guys on the first line, right? He's talked about putting Lindholm there. He's even talked about putting Tkachuk there. My gut tells me that come opening day, that first line is going to be Johnny Gaudreau, Sean Monahan, and James Neal. And
yeah, I
agree. Stay there for most of the season.
Yeah. And you got to figure that Monahan has a very excellent shot and is a good playmaker. And Gaudreau, of course, is a good playmaker. You throw James Neal in there, and I could easily see Neal scoring 35, 40 goals again.
Well, the thing I like about that line with Neal on it is, yeah, Gaudreau's a good playmaker, but Gaudreau's also a great scorer. And Neal can be either one. And I think with a line like that, it's going to be hard for oppositions to scout that line because you don't know who's going to make the play to who. Anybody on that line can score. Anybody can make the play. So I think it's going to be a lot harder. You can't say, well, cover Gaudreau.
Yeah, and we saw that a bit last year where you had Gaudreau and Monahan and Michael Ferland. And Ferland, he has a good shot, but he was not a good playmaker.
Your top line right wing.
So you could kind of shy away. Like, you'd protect him for shots, but like everything else, like if he had the puck, you're not really concerned about him passing to either of those players. So
I think, but really, if you look at teams, they probably could isolate Ferland and say, as long as he doesn't get the puck, he wasn't that dangerous.
Yeah. So at least now, like, the Flames have a legitimate trio there where each one of them is equally dangerous and can score at will. And that's, and like Neal, unlike other players that have been played in that position, he can create offense by himself. And that's one of the things the Flames have been lacking.
For sure. I think it's really kind of, as you said, we haven't had a bona fide top line right winger since Jerome. And I think James Neal's that guy.
Yeah, same here. And I think that this is going to be one of the more underrated high impact signings over the last handful of years by the Flames or any team, frankly, just because of the fact that he fits so well in what the team needs.
Yeah, and I mean, if we, I just kind of look at the numbers we got last year from Ferland, and I think if we can get those kind of numbers from Ferland, who's, let's be honest here, a third line player.
Yeah.
If we can
third
get
those, or fourth.
If we
yeah.
can get those kind of numbers from a third or fourth line guy, what can we do with a legitimate number one guy?
Yeah, exactly. And that's why, like, I could easily see Neil throwing up 35 goals and, like, say 25, 30 assists, which, you know, that'd be awesome. So the team would be greatly helped by that. And I think that Treliving did an excellent job over the last week to acquire players that fit the Flames' need, which was right shooting right wingers or just right wingers in general. Neil is a left shooter, but and he can play left wing, but in Calgary.
Left wing's pretty full.
Yeah, you got Bennett, you got Tkachuk, you got Gaudreau. You're good.
Yeah, I mean, if, you know, in a pinch or in an injury, it's good to be.
Yeah, like if Gaudreau or Tkachuk get hurt, you can always throw Neil on that side and, like, stick Ryan on the right side or Zarnik or whatever. Like, the Flames have the luck of having, like, eight centers on their team. So, like, they can shift guys to the wing, they can shift them to the middle, and they can move guys up and down the lineup. Like, this lineup is very versatile, and you can pretty much throw all the names really in a blender, and that line would make sense. So
besides the backup goalie position, which I don't know if we want to get into right now, I think the Flames have really addressed all their needs.
Yeah, pretty much. And even the backup goalie situation is one where you have two high quality AHL goalies that are young and need a experience at the NHL level.
Yeah, I know a lot of people talk, should the Flames get a veteran goalie? You and I talked about this last show as well. I still think Riddick and or Gillies, well, not and or, one or the other, will make the team. I think it's going to be their position to fight for.
Mm-hmm. Whoever does better in training camp, you get the job, period. If Gillies outperforms Riddick goes on waivers.
Yeah,
and he won't get claimed by anybody because every team has that caliber of goaltender. It's just,
I said this throughout the season, I still wouldn't be surprised if one of them gets dealt.
Yeah, neither would I. And especially with the Flames having as many forwards now and even defensemen, you could conceivably see one player from each position get dealt before the season starts and not really see any impact to the team.
Yeah, I mean, I can also see the Flames, you know, not having a lot of picks this year, even just trying to move some guys for draft picks to recoup some picks for next year.
Yeah, exactly.
With that, a couple notes of players that aren't with us anymore. Two Calgary Flames, I guess, players from the past year got signed elsewhere. Matt Bartkowski signed a one-year $650,000 deal with the Minnesota Wild, and Tyler Watherspoon signed a $700,000 two-way deal with St. Louis. So I'm not a Bartkowski fan. He served one purpose here, which was a body for the expansion draft. I think he shouldn't have been in Calgary last year. That's just my opinion. I would have sent him to Stockton. And Watherspoon, I don't think he's got a fair shake here. There was times he was called up and not played, and I just think that there's a lot of guys that have passed him on the depth chart. So I'm hoping he can go to St. Louis and do a little bit more there.
Yeah, and I wish both of them luck in their new organizations, and hopefully they can establish themselves as full-time NHLers, and best of luck to them.
So before we move on from the July 1st stuff, I just thought I'd make a note here, a math note. After signing James Neal, the Calgary Flames are now $12.8 million under the cap, and with that $12.8 million, they still need to sign Lindholm, Hanifin, Jankowski, Kulak, Hathaway, Riddick, Gilly, Shinkarik, and Klimchuk. Most of those guys probably aren't going to make a million, but you've got to split 12.8, I think, among Lindholm, Hanifin, and Jankowski are going to be the three expensive ones there.
Yeah, and honestly, Jankowski's probably looking at a number either high one or low two, and Hanifin's probably going to, if it's a bridge deal, probably be in the $2.5 to $3 million range, and Lindholm, it's probably going to be a long-term $4.5 to $5 million.
And you were talking about moving roster players earlier. I could see the team having to move roster players like a guy like Stone just to free up some money.
That's possible, but I don't think they'll need to.
We'll see. I think, to me, Hanifin is the wild card here. I agree with you about Jankowski. I think he's probably going to be about 1.75. I think Lindholm, we talked to the GM today here at camp, and he said they're looking at something long-term with him. So I think you'll probably get – I think we'd be lucky, knowing the wizardry of Treliving, I think we could get out of there about 3.75, but I think realistically it'll be in the low fours. I think you'll really see Lindholm – pretty much get paid the same as Frolik, because I think Frolik will be the odd man out after his contract.
Yeah,
and then
here.
To me, the question becomes, do we do a bridge deal with Hanifin, or do we try to do something long? And if we try to do something longer, we're going to need to free up some money.
Yeah, and with Hanifin, if you do like a three-year deal, you still have him as an RFA, which you can then throw like an eight-year long-term deal.
Yeah.
You've got to figure that like Giordano's contract's going to end in a couple years. So if you make them work out to end at the same time, you could basically make Hanifin's contract raise, like assuming that he develops properly to compensate with Giordano's.
No, I think the best thing for Hanifin right now is going to be to do a bridge deal, see how he develops, and then decide at the end of two or three years.
And it makes sense for
him,
too.
If we want to buy his UFA years then.
Because it makes sense for him, too. Like, with the cap going up repeatedly and all of that, that, like, you're seeing Doughty get $11 million. Erik Karlsson's probably going to get $11 million. It makes sense for him to want a shorter-term deal so that way he can be, like, where Dougie Hamilton is now when his contract ends.
Back in Carolina?
No. I mean, in terms of stats, okay. So that way he has more leverage. Calgary, on the other hand, they could want a longer-term deal, but I don't know if they're as interested in that.
I think the Flames have to remember, too, next year, this is the last year of the Tkachuk deal.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to somehow free up some money next year because Tkachuk's going to need to get paid.
Yeah.
So whether that's just contracts expiring, like the
buying out
deals,
Brower.
Whether that's a buyout, but they got to keep that in mind, too, that we can't tie up too much future money. Because we got a big deal coming up.
Yeah. 6-6 for Tkachuk?
Let's talk about that as we get closer.
Yeah.
Let's talk about why we are here today. Flames fans were gathered here today at Winsport for the opening of the on-ice part. Yesterday was fitness testing, but today is day one of the Flames rookie camp. I think you and I have been doing a few of these now. I think this is our fourth one. And
sixth, I think. Something like that.
And this is the shortest one. It's a three-day camp. 2 days of actual on-ice evaluation, 1 day of scrimmage. Part of that is because there's hardly any Flames here. I think we got 22 Flames prospects and 19 walk-on free agents.
Yeah, and like I remember back when the Flames had like 64 players here and like it was a little bit crowded. But now like the other thing is that there's a clear talent gulf between the walk-ons and the legitimate
Flames. We've said that every year.
Oh, I know, but it's still readily apparent, and like most of the walk-on players haven't really stood out, other than the goalie for the college goalie.
Yeah, that is Matthew Galata from Cornell.
Yeah.
I think for me, the interesting thing is the Flames have done pretty well. If you look at free agent signings, I mean, we've done Foo. We've done, you know, Godden was one of them. Lately, we've had a lot of those kind of walk-on guys who came to camp. We liked them when we signed them. And I think, you know, with an organization who didn't have many picks this year, didn't have as many picks last year, there's going to be a source of bringing new guys into our organization.
Oh, yeah. And you see that with them inviting a bunch of NCAA players where, like, if you look at the AHL contracts for Calgary, most of the guys are on, like, one-year deals as well. So there's going to be lots of spots in Stockton available to anybody moving forward. So
yeah, I mean, sometimes you see these, like you said, we've had years where there's been like 45 Flames players and 10 walk-ons. It's like you're not getting a spot. There's no spots open.
Yeah.
But I think really there's enough spots that if you can show, you know, you're good, you can easily get a contract out of this or at least be invited back in September.
Yeah, or if they're a college guy, hey, we'll sign you when your season's done or something.
Yeah, well, similar to, I think, like what we've seen with Foo, where he came for a couple of years. We courted him over a couple of years. We showed that interest, and then he ended up, even though he had other offers, Edmonton, we ended up signing him in the end, you know, when he did get out of his contract and was ready for that pro turn.
Yeah, and I think Eric Brown is the player that is the foo of this year, where a high-profile player that they're trying to entice to come to Calgary after. And, you know, if this helps the Flames get legitimately good prospects to sign here, that's great. And I'm sure a lot of players are looking at good teams like Calgary in a similar manner that prospects saw Chicago, where, hey, you know, they're going to need to shed a good contract or two, and there will be a spot in the NHL for me if I play well enough. And we've seen that in Chicago with them throwing a whole bunch of kids into the NHL. And Calgary has that ability to do so as well.
Before we jump into our observations today, let's preface this from what GM Treliving told us just moments ago in a press scrum. He said he looks as an informational camp. It's to get these guys in, to give them information, to get their fitness testing, and help them get the results they need over the summer. He said he puts very little stock in the on ice at this point. Obviously, there's something there, but it's July.
Yeah, and you're looking at players just to see, like, what they're about. And like, especially like what we do is look at like, oh, this player can pass the puck, or he has a good shot, or he can stick handle really well. And some players are significantly better than others. And like, you can just see from like their overall makeup that they're more talented. And that's what we evaluate, because most Flames fans, like a lot of them players, they don't even have any experience with. So we just try to give some context to who these players are and like what they're about.
So we've got two groups of players this year, Group A and Group B. We saw Group A first thing this morning. And Matt, I'll go through some of my thoughts on this. The one position I don't think there's any jobs available is goaltender. But I thought both of the tryout goalies in Group A, it was Justin Fazio. I thought he looked really good compared to Nick Schneider, who was on the ice with. I thought they were comparable.
Yeah, and I think with both Galata and Fazio, if the Flames needed a goalie and could sign either of them, that'd be fine.
I don't think we want seven goalies right now.
That's the problem. When you have Riddick, you have Gillies, you have Parsons, you have McDonald, you have Schneider, it's a little difficult. So I would be fine with them.
We've seen some really stinky college goalies here in the past.
Yeah.
And I think these guys,
Galata especially, like he looks like he'll be an NHL goaltender.
Out of this first group today that we saw, I was really watching number 80, a guy that that had a lot of press, Glenn Godden. He's been here as a free agent walk-on the past couple camps. He did get signed by the Flames in the offseason. I thought that Godden was keeping up well with, I wouldn't say he was hand over fist better than anybody, but I thought he was keeping up well with the guys we expected him to, the Dubé, Pollock, Tulola, all those signed guys there.
Yeah, I agree. And he continued his smart play on the ice. He does things, you can tell that he thinks the game well.
Yeah, I think from when I was watching the forwards, he was the one guy who, I think, what I had here is I thought he looked the most complete in all the drills. He was scoring, he was able to pass properly, he was doing all the little things. And they even had some drills where you had to make a decision based on what another player was doing. And I think he read the other players better. I think he was maybe the most complete forward in that group.
Yeah, I agree. Dubé would be second on all fronts on that.
Yeah, I think Dubé, I saw more offensive upside from today, but I didn't see him being as complete.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think that's one thing that Dylan's going to have to work on going forward. This is a different camp for us. This is the first Cale MacLean camp. Cale MacLean is now the head coach of the Stockton Heat. Interesting.
It was a lot more skill-focused. Like, before, it would be running drills and, like, passing plays and trying to outman your defensive opponent and all that kind of stuff. But this was more, like, stick handling, chipping pucks, and like collecting them and all that kind of stuff.
The way I would compare it, and tell me if you think this is fair, Matt, I think in the past under Ryan Huska, we saw them put them in more game scenarios. There's a lot more two-on-ones. There's a lot more three-on-twos. The end goal was always take a shot on the goalie and try to score. Today, we saw very little of the goalies actually getting work that way. It was a lot more, you know, handle the puck through this little tripod thing and then pass it off to the coach. And it was much more.
Or shoot the puck through the tripod thing.
Yeah, it was the kind of drills I did when I was 11 and playing hockey, trying to build skill.
Yeah, and that's important, especially with the team trying to get higher end players from late round draft picks because of the fact that they haven't had a lot of higher end picks lately. That having it more skill focused, they might end up developing some players into legitimate NHL caliber talent that they might not otherwise.
Yeah, I mean, you don't come to a camp like this and go, oh, now I've developed my skills so much, but it's a way for the scouts and the coaches who are sitting in the stands watching to really isolate certain parts of the game.
Yeah, and nitpick all the details, like, hey, you need to work on your stick handling a lot, so let's, you know, when you're off ice, do all these things to work on
that. I think it's going to be a very different contrast this year, coming from a very drill-focused camp to the scrimmage on Sunday.
Yeah,
where we're not going to have seen a lot of game situations.
Yeah, and you look at, like, in past years, it made a lot more sense for the team to have more of a game setup just due to the fact that we had a lot of higher quality prospects. But with this group, there are a lot of players that have parts that are good and they need to develop the fullness of their game.
Before we move on past the forwards, any other forwards in this group? You mentioned Dubé, but any other forwards really impressive?
A lot of people online asked about Yacine Elise. And
one of the new signings.
Yeah, and he was very quick and overall decent, but you'd expect that because he's 25.
He also reminds me of a lot of guys we brought over, like David Wolfs and guys like that, who are new to the North American ice. They're new to the style of play over here.
He's... to compare him to a player that the Flames would be familiar with would be a Paul Byron. His legs work a little bit quicker than his hands, but you know, if he can put everything together, he might be eventually a good fourth-line player.
I think we see a lot of these German guys and European guys in general who we bring over as free agents. We saw it with Cervenka, too, when he came to his first camp. They're used to being faster because they're on bigger ice. So they look faster when you put them on the smaller surface.
Yeah.
You'd mentioned to
Martin
me in the
Postle
stands.
Martin Postle was good.
Martin Postle.
Yeah.
What did you think about him specifically?
He has very good hands, and especially because he's known for being more of a tough guy. The skill that he showed in some of the things was very noticeable and a bit of a surprise. And Itu Tuola, he has...
We didn't see him last year, to be fair.
Yeah, he is a player that there are so many parts of his game that translate to the NHL level, but he needs to work on his stick handling and his shooting a little bit in order to get that better, to be an NHL player. But most of the other physical aspects, he's fairly good.
I'll ask you the question I never thought I'd ask at rookie development camp. So how about that Jankowski kid? For those that don't know, the younger brother of Mark Jankowski, David, is here wearing number 46. He's one of the walk-on players.
I thought he was good. He reminds me a lot of Jankowski.
We saw him stand outside afterwards, and I'm like, that must be a Jankowski.
Yeah, you can quite easily see the familial resemblance there. He's a little bit shorter than his brother. He's a little less skilled than his brother, but he is a talented player in his own right. And if the Flames were to sign him after his NCAA career is over, that'd be perfectly fine. I think he's a decent prospect. I'm not sure if he has NHL potential, but he's a good player. It'd be one of those situations where he'd have to take a couple of steps up the ladder to be a full-time NHLer, but there is potential there. And that's some with prospects. If they got the potential, then some of them actually hit it.
Yeah, I don't think he's a guy the Flames would sign before he's done college, but at least watch him and see where he's at and what he does.
Yeah.
I think he could be. We don't want to sign him just because he's got the name. We don't want this to be the next Freddie Hamilton. but I think that he's definitely a guy worth watching and maybe even bringing back to regular camp.
Yep.
Any other forwards you want to talk about?
Not really. A lot of the forward, like Matthew Phillips, was okay. I thought he was a little rusty at times.
We have to remember, too, this is the first time a lot of these guys have probably been on the ice in over a month, and they were only out there for an hour. So I think, you know, this is one of those things that, yeah, a guy like Phillips didn't look maybe as good as he should have, but I think that we look at his progress over the week. And yeah. Does he progress? Does he look better tomorrow?
Yeah.
On the defensive side, there's really only two actual Flames prospects here, one on each team. But Juuso Välimäki, I thought if you're using this to try and impress management, you've done it. Because he was in the right position everywhere. He was doing what he had to do. He looked like Mark Giordano out there just because he was playing with a bunch of not as great defensemen.
Yeah.
All walk-ons.
Well, you could see why Conroy was raving about him. And enough said, he could play in the NHL this season. That's how talented he was. It's one of those situations that it's a numbers game, of course, with Calgary, but we'll see. He showed a lot, though.
I think, honestly, we see him start in Stockton.
Oh, I agree.
I think he might be on the Flames roster by the time the season's over, but I think he starts as a member of Stockton.
If anybody gets hurt, he's in.
He's one of the guys I'm also most impressed with just looking at him. His body's changed quite a bit from last year.
He was a lot thinner, more lanky before.
Yeah, he reminded me more of Jankowski, that thin, lanky guy. And now he's got some muscle on those bones.
Yeah.
And then anything, Tyler Parsons, we were told, is not going to be in the ice. He should have been in Group A, but he tweaked something and they're keeping him off the ice. So Nick Schneider was the only Flames goalie on this team. Thoughts on Schneider?
He's there.
He looks pretty much what I expected from him. He was a walk-on a couple years ago. That's how he earned a job. He was a good walk-on. And based on, when we look at McDonald, Parsons, he's doing what he needs to be doing. He's turning pro. He's got a job.
Yeah, one of the defensive walk-ons did impress me in the first group, and that was Braden Paschal, number 73. He just did a couple of things. He boxed players out in some of the drills well.
I just think that right now, being a defenseman, the Flames' depth chart is so full on defense.
Oh, yeah,
I agree. Might get a job playing in Kansas City in the ECHL, but I think it's going to be tough to even crack an AHL job.
But it's one of those things, build a relationship and see where it goes.
For sure. And then why don't we move on to Group B, if that works for you, Matt?
Definitely.
Group B was the other group that we saw. They were broken down. And this group, I guess, was headlined by, if the other group was headlined by Välimäki, this group was headlined by Spencer Fu, who's coming to his second camp signed as a Flame. He got signed last year just for camp.
He looks like a player that's competing for an NHL job. I don't think that he'll eventually get there at the end of the training camp, but he looks head and shoulders above everybody else.
You and I have often sat in the stands here at Winsport every year and said, we can pick out the guys who have pro experience.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen our Shillingtons. We've seen our Anderson. We've seen, Klimchuk on the ice. We've seen the guys who have pro experience, and they always stand out. And really, the only guy with North American pro experience besides Pollock is Fu. And you can definitely tell that Fu played in the AHL. Like, he was that one step ahead of everybody. I think he was just thinking the drills better than everybody else.
Yeah. I agree.
And this isn't, as Matt said, he's not necessarily competing for a Flames contract like he has been in the past. I think this is really just get Fu on the ice, take a look at what he looks like. You know, he's definitely going to have a job, whether it's in the NHL or a high-level job in the AHL.
And I'm going to group five players together because I have pretty much the exact same thing to say about each of them. Philip Svenningsson, Adam Ružička, Emilio Pettersson, Linus Lindstrom, and Dimitrios Kuzmantsis. They are all very skilled players with very good hands, very good shots, very good passing ability. They're just very raw. And you can see flashes there. It's just they need to have it not just be flashes.
Well, and even Tre Levine had said about some of those guys when we talked to him that they just need to get their body up to, a man level.
Yeah.
And that's we talked to Ružička, and he was saying that too, that he just needs to get bigger.
Yeah, and you can, like, Svenningsson, Pettersson, and Lindstrom are all very tiny players physically. Like, they're just small, thin, skinny players. and they just need to fill out so that way if they're fighting for a puck, they can actually compete in those battles. Not necessarily win them, but tie up the puck at the minimum. And we'll see. Those all five of those guys are guys that if they make the NHL, it's not going to be for like 3 years or 4 years from now.
Yeah, and I think for me, I was watching Kumontas and Milos Roman today, and you could tell both of them were just drafted. I mean, they looked like junior players. We've been able to see that here, too. They don't have a lot of experience in a camp like this. They were one step behind guys who've been here before, like Ruzicka. But I think that, you know, they were guys that, as Matt said, they show some potential in some areas. Moving on from the forwards, then, there's really only one defenseman of note here, and that's Josh Healy, who's signed as a Flame. Any thoughts on what we saw from Healy?
He was there.
He didn't look markedly different to me than any of the other walk-on defensemen.
Yeah. None of the walk-on guys really stood out as being anything.
And I don't think Healy has NHL potential.
No. I don't either.
I think he's, you know, he's the body right now.
Yeah.
The one guy I do want to give some props to here was Mason McDonald. You and I have seen McDonald a number of these camps now. We've talked to him a few times in the past, and I thought he looked better than he has in the past. I think you could really tell that Mason has some pro experience, even just at the ECHL, and he played a little bit in the AHL, but he seemed, I think, of all the goalies we saw today, he had the best puck awareness.
Yeah.
He seemed to know not only where the shots were coming, but what type of shot was coming, which I think last year and the year before when you and I would see him, he'd know how to track the player, but he always seemed to get beat because he didn't know how they were going to shoot.
Yeah, and goalies are often a pain to watch in terms of their development because, like, you spend a high draft pick on them and you expect, like, a forward, oh, this guy's going to step in the NHL in a couple years. And with goalies, it's frequently they have a lot of the parts, but will they put all the pieces together? And some guys, like Parsons, get it quicker. Or Gillies get it quicker, and McDonald seems to be on the right track. He's getting better each year. Whether that he continues to grow, like if he does, he'll make the NHL if he does, like when he's 25 or 26.
Yeah, I think he's a long shot for the NHL.
Yeah.
I think the question for him this year is, does he get a starting job in the ECHL or a backup job in the AHL?
Yeah. And it's one of those things where he could eventually develop into that. Because, like, the guy that he was compared to when he was drafted was Steve Mason. And it took Mason until he was 26 to really cement an NHL job. So
yeah, I don't know. When I watch, and I know that they're comparable playstyle-wise, but when I watch McDonald, I just think that he's further away than I think Mason was at about the same age.
Yeah.
I think Mason also was fortunate because he was in an organization that didn't have as much goalie depth. I think I honestly think if Mason McDonald is going to make the NHL, he needs to be moved from the Flames organization. I think if you look at who's above him in our depth chart,
There's
no way he's getting moved up.
No.
So I think that probably concludes our analysis of day one of On Ice. We'll be seeing both groups again tomorrow morning on Saturday. I imagine more skills-based work for these guys, and then Sunday will be the interesting piece when we see them all scrimmage. So, Matt, anything else you want to add before we sign off?
That's all, and I'll be posting some video, and that'll be up on our YouTube channel by the time the show's up. So
if you go to the Fireside Chat YouTube channel, you can find the link from our website at firesidechat.ca. Yep.
And we'll have video for each day of the development camp and the entire scrimmage for the third day.
All right, well, we will be back with some interviews with some of the prospects that we talked to today, and then we will come back after that with our thoughts from day two.
For the second year in a row, we talked to Adam Ruzicka, the Calgary Flames 2017 fourth-round pick.
So welcome back to Calgary. This is your second training camp here. First question is, from where we were last year at this time to now, what do you think the biggest change in your game has been?
Well, it's not a lot of changes, you know. I just gotta complete my game and start competing, you know, like be more consistent. That's what I'm trying to show here, all the management. It's a good opportunity, you know, good learning stuff. So it's good 4 days, and I'm going to take as much as I can from this camp.
So you've had another league in the OHL.
Yeah.
You now see guys out here like Foo who've played at the AHL level, have some idea of where you have to get to get there. What do you think the biggest change you're going to have to make are before you turn pro?
Just be more consistent, you know. And
just consistency?
Yeah, just I'm going to be older and older, stronger and stronger, faster and faster, you know. The game is going to go, the game is going to be better and better, so I got to be better and better every year, every summer. So
physically, you're looking a lot better, too.
Yeah, I just got to be more consistent in the games, and that's all it takes.
How are you adapting to North America?
Oh, I'm fine now. I mean, first year is first year, you know. It's not the easiest part of it, but hey, second year, it's going to be my third year here.
Yeah.
I mean, I got to be used to it already, you know.
Yeah.
What were some of the biggest changes you found in that change of the game to the North American style for you?
It's just a lot faster, you know. The rink is a lot smaller, so everything's quicker. Everything's like second by second, and the players are really quick. So just that, the quickness and the toughness, you know, every check, every hit counts, and every step counts.
Do you feel that you have to round out your game more, like, cause especially with the Flames having such a large amount of depth at all levels now?
Yeah.
Do you feel that you need to be a more complete player to step up in the depth chart?
Well, I mean, everybody's got to be complete player if you want to play in NHL, you know. You got to have everything. Those guys which are playing pro in NHL, they got everything, you know. They got great shot, they're fast, they're smart. You gotta have everything. Great skating, you know, and as you're gonna get older, you gotta have more experience, you know, in the whatever league you're playing, you're just gonna pick up more experience and you're gonna be better.
Besides the on ice, anything you're looking forward to off ice while you're here in Calgary?
Well, I'm staying here all summer.
Oh, nice.
With the Flames.
So you're gonna go to the Stampede?
I don't know yet. I will see. So I'm staying here with the REA.
Nice.
So I'm here.
So you get
all
to experience
summer.
More of what it would be like to live here.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. So yeah, it's great. It's a good opportunity for me. They gave me, and I'm just going to show them that I'm willing to work.
We met the Calgary Flames 2018 fourth round pick, number 108 overall, Dmytro Komantzis.
This is your first pro camp. Obviously,
yes.
You just got drafted by the Flames.
Mm-hmm.
What are you finding on the ice there when you look at some of these guys like Spencer Fu, like Valimaki, who have played that pro game? You've seen kind of where you need to get to?
I'd say the work ethic, so it's there, like, I mean, on and off the ice. You see them in the locker room, they're always being prepared. They know how to be a pro, and I think it's awesome to watch those players and kind of take in information. I mean, because this is all new to me, this kind of level of play. So just the skill and the preparation, everything that goes into being a pro, I think you can learn a lot from players like that. And just kind of the character of these kind of players, like Spencer Fu, is like, he's been awesome kind of getting to know. Like, he's been awesome in the locker room and everything, helpful.
For Flames fans, they're still trying to get to know you as a player. How would you describe your game?
Definitely a playmaker, but I love playing a full on all zones of the game. I love playing defense and offense. So you can, I mean, I work hard in every zone, but I love dishing the puck and scoring goals. But I know that there's a role to be in.
Different roles.
Yeah, I love being in different roles. Wherever they want to put me, I can be. But definitely, I love passing the puck and making plays that not everyone's expecting.
Well, that's a very good attitude to have.
Especially with a team with this kind of forward depth.
Yeah.
When you got the call saying that you'd been drafted by the Flames, what was the first thing that went through your head?
Nothing really went through my head, I'd say. I think it was just a lot of thoughts and kind of just, I wasn't able to really speak at that point. I mean, when it came up on the screen, my family was screaming, everyone was happy for me, and I was just kind of sitting there shaking.
You were
like,
at home celebrating with family on draft day?
Mm-hmm. So, I don't know, I was just really very happy with all the hard work that everyone's put in for me, so.
Had you followed the Flames a lot coming into this? Was this really your first exposure to this organization?
Probably my first real exposure to the organization, but I mean, I've always watched players that have played in it, and so, but yeah, definitely my first actual connection with this organization.
You're going to be heading to the NCAA.
Yes.
What are you actually going to be taking in school?
I'm taking hockey, obviously. And then, I'm doing business.
Okay. Yeah. Can't get a bachelor's in hockey.
No. True.
So, any thoughts about going to college? Have you checked at your school yet? You're all set up there? Is that still to be done this summer?
Yes. Yeah, so I head up in August 1st.
Nice.
Yes.
So, busy time between coming here, going to school, lots of changes for you this summer.
Yes.
It was our pleasure once again to catch up with the Calgary Flames 2016 sixth-round pick, Matthew Phillips. So, Matthew, you're one of the older guys at camp this year. You've done this before. Are you seeing any change in the way the camp's run now with a new coaching staff here in Calgary? Any difference between, say, this year and last year?
Honestly, the structure of the camp's pretty similar. I think they do a really good job with giving us resources and places we can learn, not only on the ice with all the coaches out there, but off the ice in the seminars. So the structure of the camp is pretty similar. Obviously, the two head coaches that have been here with Gully and now Bill, they're kind of different personalities. But overall, I think it's been pretty similar.
As a 19-year-old who has the chance to turn pro this year, what do you think you can do that's in your control to help make that happen?
Yeah, I think I just want to show that I have a few more pro tendencies. I think in the pro game, details are so, so important. And I think that's what I've learned the most in the last couple of years going through junior, is those little details and how important they really are. So if I can come out here and show that I can kind of dial in those details and be responsible all over the ice, then that's probably a big thing.
What's the biggest change you think we can see in your game from this time last year?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think I grew the most this season, probably just responsibility. And I had more ice time. I played penalty kill this year. That was kind of new to me. So I was kind of demanded a lot every day being a captain, and I think that made me a lot better. So hopefully I'm just kind of more well-rounded.
With the Flames organizationally increasing their depth and talent, both at the NHL level and in the AHL level, how do you feel you stepped into the organization at the pro level?
Yeah, that's a good question. Honestly, don't know. I mean, it's kind of out of my hands, and it's for the coaches to decide. But I mean, my goal whenever I show up to a Flames camp, development camp or main camp, is just to make an impression and kind of make them talk about me. So there's a bit that's out of my control, but I'm just trying to show my best and hopefully stick and play pro hockey this year.
Do you feel that you can take on a defensive role as a forward to try and help the team win as well against Stockton?
Yeah, I think I'm pretty versatile, and honestly, if I'm asked to, maybe not so big shutdown kind of laying guys out, but I think I'm pretty responsible and I can be relied on in most situations in the game. So I think I'm pretty comfortable however the coach asks me to play.
And here we are after the on-ice day two. This is the Saturday session of the 2018 Rookie Development Camp. And once again, we saw both groups on ice. Matt, let's start with Group B. You started the morning. Any thoughts on Group B?
I thought Spencer Fu looked exceptionally good, and he looks like he's an NHL caliber player. Not necessarily going to be playing this year for Calgary, but he's going to be pushing for a job.
To me, I think really Fu, and tell me what you think, but I think Fu is really the only guy that has to look good here. I mean, everyone else, they're going to be sending back to wherever they came from.
Pretty much.
Going to make the team. I think Fu, if we weren't so deep, if we didn't make all the acquisitions we talked about previously on July 1st, I think he could have a shot here, but I think he's trying to show this team, you know, hey, I can do this.
Yeah, and he needs to show that, hey, I can be just as good as Austin Zarnik or any of the other players that are on the team, like Curtis Lazar or whatever. So he needs to impress, and he has thus far. So he's checking all the marks that he needs to. And that's the important thing.
You and I talked about it this morning, but in the past, we've seen a lot more guys here with pro experience. You know, last year we saw the Klimchuks and the Shinkariks, and we've seen, Shillington, Anderson. Really, the only guy with pro experience this year is Fu and Pollock. And, I think Fu, because of that, is standing out. And we talked about that a little bit in our analysis of yesterday, but he understands that pro game. He knows what has to be done, and he's standing out because of that.
I agree.
Anyone else interesting from Group B? I noticed today there were some questions, and we even got a question from a fellow media person of people didn't see D'Artagnan Joly yesterday and wondered if he was on the ice. He was. We saw a little bit of him, but I noticed him, I don't want to say competing harder today, but he was just more noticeable in this group. Maybe it's because I was looking for him.
Yeah, he was one of those players that just kind of faded into the background yesterday, but today he was a little bit more noticeable. He's a tall player. He skates well, and he has some abilities. We'll see how he develops moving forward. He's still a very thin player, and I think as he gets bigger physically, that will help to determine what he will be.
And then from the A group, the second group that was on ice, I think, again, just like Fu, the only guy that was really noticeable there was Valimaki. They were doing some interesting sort of game scenario drills.
Dubé was also, to his credit, noticeable as well. But everybody else, it was... You weren't surprised by anybody. Like, they... You come to know what Itu Tuolo will do, what Matthew Phillips will do, and they did it, and that's good. It's just...
One guy I expect to see a little bit more of, considering he is playing pro, is Pollock.
Yeah, I agree.
I didn't expect him to be where Fu is, because Fu is in the AHL. Pollock played a lot of ECHL time, but I expected Pollock to be noticeable on that group as the only pro, and... If I didn't know what number he was, I wouldn't have known him from...
Any of the miscellaneous walk-on players.
Or any of the drafted players. Phillips, you know, Dubé, Pollock, Tuola, like all the guys gotten. So yeah. I don't want to say that it's going to affect Dubé or Pollock, I mean, because I don't think that the team's looking at him as a huge prospect. We got him in the Chris Russell deal, but I think that it might be a sign for him that he's got to sort of, you know, spend the summer getting a bit better.
Yeah, and for him, like, if he wants another contract at all, he has to be better. And at this point, I'm not seeing it. You're not seeing it. So
I mean, you know, and it's July. It's true. Oh,
of course.
But I think that if, you know, if he doesn't impress, I can see Godden kind of taking his spot on the depth chart.
Oh, I agree. And a number of other players, frankly. And he needs to be better. And that's on him to be better. And he hasn't been. So he might just be one of those players where what you see is what you get. And he's peaked at his upper level, which, frankly, is a borderline ECHL player.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's probably got a career in the minor leagues, be it the AHL, the ECHL. I don't think he's an NHL-level prospect, but
no.
There's still, you know, you can still make a decent living playing in the AHL.
Yeah, or go to Europe as a possible destination. So there's plenty of options, but I just, with him, you're, like, with these camps, like, as Treliving said, like, you're not expecting the world from these guys, but it is an indication of, are you seeing any progression from the last time you've seen them? And frankly, with Pollock, we saw him last year. I watched a handful of AHL games.
He looked pretty stagnant every camp he's been at.
Yeah, and there hasn't really been any movement northward. Like, Fu, the first time we saw him, he was very raw. Then the next year when we signed him, he looked a lot better. And now he's looking a lot better and more towards being an NHL player, and you're hoping to see with these prospects that kind of linear progression.
Well, even a guy like Dylan Dubé this year, number 59, to me, when I watch Dubé on the ice, I go, this guy's ready to go pro.
Yeah, or, you know, and even he could possibly push for a job. Not, he won't get it, but he could push for one.
But I think we've seen his game elevate to the point where I go, I think this guy's ready to turn pro.
Yeah, and it's one of those situations with him where, like, say the Flames run into, like, three or four injuries up front, you could conceivably throw him in the NHL and he wouldn't be overwhelmed at that level.
Yeah, I think that depends where you put him in the lineup. But
true, but...
I think I would rather keep a guy like Dubé in the A this year, sucking up a lot of minutes than...
Oh, I agree, but...
I think even before Dubé, I'd bring up a Buddy Robinson or...
Oh, for sure,
you know, one
but
of these veteran
it's
guys.
One of those things where you could, and he wouldn't be out of line playing at the NHL level.
So tomorrow, by the time you guys hear this, it'll be over, but tomorrow's the big piece here that everyone's looking forward to. It's the scrimmage. And it's one thing to see these guys in practice scenarios.
Yeah, because, like, let's say, like, guys like Phillips Svenningsson and Emilio Matias Pettersson, they look really good, but, you know, it's not a game situation. And, like, they have a lot of skill, and you see the flashes of brilliance in their game, but can they do that in a game situation against their peers? And that's what tomorrow will indicate. To a large extent, with a lot of these players, how do they translate in terms of against each other and against the better competition, the guys like Fu, Dubé, Valimaki, and all that?
And you and I have seen guys in the past who maybe we weren't impressed by until we got to the scrimmage and saw some of their hockey sense, some of the way they move the puck, those sort of things. And vice versa, we've seen guys we thought looked really good during the practice days got to the scrimmage and didn't look great. So I think for me, it's always easier to evaluate a guy in a game scenario.
Yeah, like a guy like Braden Burke from a few years ago was one of those where he was very impressive during the skills part, but then once the game happened, he was borderline terrible. So, and accordingly, the Flames didn't offer him a contract. So.
I think the most interesting part of the scrimmage for me, and we'll talk about this tomorrow and see if it panned out, but there's 10 defensemen here. Only two are actually Flames property, Valimaki and Healy. So it'll be interesting to see how a lot of these walk-on free agent tryout guys actually fare against a good number of, you know, drafted Flame shooters.
Yeah, and also with all these walk-on players, just because like it's not likely that they'll sign any of them due to the fact they're mostly NCAA guys, but at least they'll be able to give them information on, like, you need to work on X, Y, and Z. And over the course of the season, if they do that and take steps forward in their development, the Flames could end up signing some of these players down the road when it's actually viable to do so.
Yeah, and I'm not expecting anyone to get signed. It's going to be different this year, too, because they don't have Penticton to bring a lot of these guys back. But I think you'll see, and we were talking about this earlier, because the Flames are going to China, I think you'll see sort of the A group over there and a lot of these guys filling space at the Dome.
Yeah, all the drafted prospects, for sure.
And a couple others where they just go, oh, we're one short of defenseman for a whole roster, let's bring one in, that sort of thing.
And those will probably be the PTO veteran guys.
And I bet we'll see some of these names in there as well.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's going to be interesting for me with the defenseman to see, you know, is Valimaki or is Healy hand over fist the best of the group? Or, you know, can the rest of these guys look serviceable in this kind of a role?
Yeah, and to me, the best of the walk-on players is Eric Brown, number 74. And he looks like
he's a left winger.
He will be a top NCAA free agent. And with the Flames bringing him here, hopefully they can do whatever they can to get him to actually want to come here and sign, because he does look like a very top-notch prospect.
Some people asked on our Twitter account last night about David Jankowski, and, you know, he looks good. He looks like his brother. We have to not put stock in the fact just because of Jankowski we could bring him in. And to me, before I'd even say if we should or shouldn't, I'd like to see him play at a higher level.
Yeah, for sure. And I'd like to see Jankowski play his NCAA career more fully than he has and let him develop more to see if he, like his brother, developed each year and progressed each year. Because like there was times when his brother was not looking well, frankly, a lot of Flames fans were on the fence with Jankowski for a number of years until...
We knew he was a long shot prospect coming in.
Yeah, and with his brother, David, if he can show the same upward trajectory between now and when a contract would be offered, then obviously the Flames will be trying their hardest to get him to come here.
The other thing you and I were talking about was the goaltending. I mean, really, Tyler Parsons is on the ice, so Nick Schneider and Mason McDonald, the two goalies. And I'm expecting, hopefully, Mason McDonald looks like the better goalie tomorrow. He's the only guy here with some pro experience in net. And I'm, you know, Schneider...
He needs, for himself, he needs to be the best of the four goalies. But I'm expecting Galata, the walk-on free agent guy from the NCAA, to be the best because he's looked the best. But we'll see.
Again, it's tough to tell because not everyone's, you know, shooting their hardest or playing their hardest during the practice. But, yeah, we'll see tomorrow. But I'm hoping that we forgot Mason. We were talking about guys that have pro experience. Mason definitely has some pro experience in the ECHL. Last year was a weird year for him. He was getting used to it, going up and down from the A to the E. But I'm hoping that, you know, he can really show that, yeah, I'm a pro.
Yeah, and again, show that linear progression towards the ultimate destination of being an NHL player.
What I'm hoping we'll see is McDonald in one net and Schneider in the other net at the same time, because they're probably going to be a tandem in the ECHL this year.
Yeah.
So it'd be nice to compare and contrast.
True.
And especially, I think, with the shootouts will be the interesting place to see them. Because for those that don't know, the format they use here is they play a period, then half of each roster shoots on the goalie, then they play another period, then half each roster shoots on each goalie.
Yeah, and it's the same thing with Eric Brown with Matt Golota. They're trying to get him. He's one of the top NCAA goalies, and they're trying to entice him because his stats are very good. And with a couple of the Flames goalie prospects, the ones that are here being free agents at the end of the year, if they do not earn another contract, a guy like Golota could get a job in the organization.
Well, and we've also seen times, I mean, Golota's in college, he can't do it now, but we've seen times where someone's got hurt in the ECHL or the AHL and they pull in a guy on a tryout agreement. So even something like that where you say, hey, Golota, your NCAA season's over, let's pull you in for a tryout in the A, tryout in the E. I mean, we saw last year when, what was it, Gillies and Riddick, I forget. They were both – oh, I think Gillies was hurt. Riddick was up here. Parsons was hurt. And we're like, well, where are they going to get goalies from? Like, where do you stock the AHL?
Yeah.
So even having those relationships, now these are guys we can call on.
Yeah. And with a guy like Golota, I'm sure probably 15, 20 teams will be after him.
Yeah.
And Brown, probably all 31 teams will be after him.
Well, and as Tree Living has said, this is about making connections, giving them information, also getting them used to who we are. What our say is about, what our organization
is
about.
Yeah, and like with those guys, like they're giving them good advice on like you need to fix these parts of your game to make yourself better. So the fact that they're giving constructive criticism also helps, because if they work on it and they see the results therein, then hey, well, those guys really helped me.
Yeah,
I'll have a little more loyalty to them because
I think all the teams are going to do that. But a lot of it's all showing off your city, you know, showing them the Stampede, showing them the mountains, saying, yeah, there's a place I could see myself living and working. And I think a lot of these camps is more about that as well.
True.
You know, two nights ago, the first night of the camp here, the players all took cooking lessons as they do every year. This year, they go in the Calgary Police Training Facility, and they're going to be doing some of the police exercises. So a lot of it's just, yeah, I met a friend, or I met someone I like there. I want to be part of this organization, or, wow, that was a lot of fun. So I think a lot of it is not so much the helpfulness, because I think all of them do that. Of course, that's part of it. But I think a lot of it's, oh, yeah, you know, these guys were fun. These guys looked after me. These guys called me again afterwards.
Yeah, I agree. And especially if they follow up throughout the year, which I'm assuming that they would.
Well, especially with NCAA guys, it's easy to see because you're scouting there anyway, especially the Flames, who do a lot of NCAA scouting.
Yeah, I think the Flames are one of the more active teams in that regard. So
you'll touch base multiple times.
Yeah.
Well, any other thoughts from today, Matt?
It was a lot more of an interesting, less focus on skill development and more like the traditional development camps where more game-ish style action. So
it almost seemed like there was a progression. Yesterday was, let's get on the ice. Many of us haven't been on the ice probably a month. Let's get out there. Let's just, you know, work on some things. Then today it's, let's get ready for tomorrow with the game situation.
Mm-hmm.
And put you in more of those scenarios so we can evaluate where you might be.
Oh.
And they always mix up these rosters too, so it's not going to be Group A versus Group B.
Although it probably will be, but they might swap a couple of players.
They always
around.
Swap a couple around, but you know, I think they might kind of be seen too, especially on the defensive side, like who do we want to put where?
Mm-hmm.
But I know you and I have come in the past, and we're like, hey, how come so-and-so's over there? They were on the other team.
Yeah.
So. Well, hopefully, by the time you hear this, the scrimmage will have been over, but hopefully you came to the scrimmage, you enjoyed it. If not, we'll have some video that you can watch on our YouTube channel. So,
yeah, I took a bunch of video of little mini scrimmages that they had, and yeah, so that'll be all up by the time you listen to this.
All right, well, Matt, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
So we're here with Yusuf Alamaki. So you've made it known this year that your intention is to make the big club coming into the season. What do you think you have to change between now and September to really have a shot of getting a roster spot?
I don't think I really have to change anything. I think just work hard, you know, every day. Every day is important, and probably the biggest things for me are the defensive side, box out, and battling and competing against the best player in the world. So, yeah, I think that's probably the biggest thing. And what I noticed last year, playing preseason games, I got to move the puck quick. There's not much room. So,
for Flames fans that still are learning about you, you've only been here for 1 year. Who would you compare yourself to? What kind of defenseman are you?
I want to be like Victor Hedman and that kind of guys who can do everything out there, who can move the puck, skate well, and defend really good. So try to be that kind of player and do everything out there.
With your being one of the older players now at the prospect camp, Have other players come to you for advice and pointers on?
Maybe not too much in the ice. Mostly, you know, off the ice, how we do this and this and that. So, not too much, but obviously, like, probably the other guys, like, I still do look at the other guys and what they're doing and try to learn from them. So, probably everyone else is doing the same.
What does your off-ice regime look like from now to main camp? Are you here in Calgary? Are you going home?
No, I'm going back home, actually, on Monday. So,
okay.
I'll be there for another month and a half, probably, coming back probably late August.
Well, good luck in your quest to make the main roster. We hope you can do it.
Thank you.
In one of his first interviews since being drafted by the Calgary Flames, we spoke with Milos Roman, the Calgary Flames' 2018 fourth-round selection, number 122 overall.
So first off, Milos, welcome to Calgary.
You're
playing Vancouver, so you're used to Western Canada. What did you know about this organization before you got drafted?
So I've seen that they won first Stanley Cup in 89. So it just won Stanley Cup here, and I think it's mainly information about this organization. And I know that we have a lot of young guys here, a lot of prospects, and I think that we have a pretty good team, and like in NHL. So I think it's mainly information about our organization.
For Flames fans that are just getting to know you, how would you describe your game?
So I think I'm playmaking center, and I'm hardworking on the ice. I know to make pass, and I know to create space, and also I know to work hard. So that's it.
How did you feel, because the Flames didn't have the pick that they selected you with initially, how did you feel about them going out of their way to make a trade just to get a pick to select you?
Yeah, I've been a little bit surprised that I've seen that the Montreal Canadiens picked and they traded to Calgary. And I've been very happy. It was emotional at home, and we've been all happy about it. So, yeah, I'm excited right now, and it was something like a dream come true.
Coming into your first camp like this for the Flames and at the pro level in general, what have you learned about yourself so far this week here at camp?
Oh, so we had a lot of presentations, some practices on the ice, some testing, and it's about getting information and to be better and better. So I want to improve myself, and I want to get the information and be better.
Who are you rooming with this week?
With Dimitrios.
Can you tell us anything about him that we don't know?
Oh, I don't know him a lot. It's just for a couple of days right now, and maybe after camp, but we'll see.
You'll have some better stories after camp?
Maybe.
What are some areas that you feel that you need to work on to improve to get to the NHL?
Yeah, I want to be stronger, and I want to improve my acceleration.
Yeah.
So also my shooting, so those parts I want to improve and be better there.
Well, the Flames 2018 rookie development camp has come to an end, and as always, we ended it with a scrimmage today with Team Conroy taking on Team Jelena. For anyone who's interested in seeing that scrimmage, it is up on our YouTube channel. If you go to YouTube and look at Fireside Chat, you'll find it there. Matt, before we get into it, one of the less lopsided scrimmages we've seen, we saw only a 4-6 score in this one. What was your overall impression?
I thought that the good players for the Flames among the prospects played well, and there was some encouraging signs from other players.
Really, to me, the guys that should have looked good, and the only real surprise, I think, for me was walk-on player Bobby McMahon, number 84, stood out, and I was surprised to see that, but he was also on a line with some good guys today.
Yeah.
You and I had talked previously about two of the more interesting prospects, Dylan Dubé, number 59, and number 47, Matthew Phillips, two guys who've seen a lot of each other in junior, probably going to be both making the jump to the pro game this year. And I was thinking, and you and I talked this week, that I think Phillips would probably start in the ECHL and Dubé in the AHL if he doesn't make the team. But, you know, after seeing those two guys on a line together, I'm almost thinking you might be best to keep them both in the AHL and see if you can get some magic there, because they looked fantastic playing together in this scrimmage.
Oh, I agree. And I think that that'll be a pairing that you'll see moving forward. They might be eased into the AHL a bit and, say, play it on the second or third line in the A instead of being cast like, oh, you're our go-to guys. I think that'll be a little too much for them, but I think the third person on that line will be a one of the more veteran guys like Quinne or Buddy Robinson or somebody like that.
Yeah, for sure. And I think if we take a look at that, those two, I mean, Dubé's listed as a center. He's not going to be the number one center going into this year. It'd probably be Fu or somebody more senior. So I don't think that you'll rely on these guys by any means right at the beginning as your first pairing.
Yeah, for sure.
First line. But I think for sure putting someone else on the other side could be a good idea, whether it's one of the new guys like Robinson, whether it's somebody like Emile Poirier, someone who's been around for a while. But yeah, I think you definitely need some sort of a veteran on that group.
Yeah. Well, Poirier is no longer in the organization, but yeah.
Well, not for now. He could be brought back. I could see them bringing him back on an AHL deal.
True.
Just to put some bodies out there. As far as the defensemen go, really only two signed defensemen, Juuso Välimäki and Josh Healy, who played on different teams. Juuso really stood out to me as the best defenseman on the ice. I think he should have. I mean, you know, that's really where he needed to be, looking at the other defensemen that are here. Do you think that this was really, do you think he was that much above everybody else, or do you just think it's because he's really the only defenseman with, I guess, let's say, top-level junior experience?
I think that it's one of those weird situations where he is probably the best single individual defensive prospect that the Flames have had at one of these tournaments. So you add that with the fact that he's one of only two guys there, and like he stands clearly in a different class by himself.
When we saw, I mean, if you were to have him on the ice against, I guess that's what I was trying to say, is if you were to put him on the ice against a Shillington or an Anderson or someone like that at this camp, do you still think that he would have stood out as much
as he did?
Yeah, I do.
Because honestly, I think of all of the prospects, including Fu and Dubé, he's the most NHL-ready of the bunch, and so the fact that he wasn't making much mistakes and was looking composed at both ends of the ice makes sense.
He had some good shots, but he also really set up some of the forwards, which is really what we're looking for from a defenseman like him. I think, you know, he was just, like you said, he was looking good at both ends of the ice, and I think he's an exciting prospect. I didn't really give Välimäki a lot of thought when we drafted him. But I've seen him here. I'm really thinking this guy's ahead of where I would have expected him to be.
It's almost one of those situations where you wonder how he fell to where he did. Because the Flames seem to have gotten a good pick, especially for a 15th overall pick. Usually those guys, in most drafts, you're hoping that they'll turn into a middle six forward or a second pairing defenseman, but he looks like he could eventually turn into a top pairing player, and that's very encouraging for the Flames.
Yeah, I think he'll be the diamond in the rough going forward. It's, you know, we've talked about it with the goalies, but I think the Flames are in a good spot on defense with him of having too much depth there to fill out even their pro roster over the next couple of years.
Well, you look at the Flames for moving forward, Shillington, Anderson, Välimäki, and Hanifin, and I'll even throw Brett Kulak in there. Like, that's a solid group of five young defensemen, and if they can all reach the NHL and be contributors, that'll help, especially as we move forward, because we're going to be having more draft picks in the moving forward, and like the Flames can add more draft picks via, like, throwing more picks at defensemen to, like, have the next wave of guys coming through.
I think that's interesting, too. This year, it was said that the 2018 draft was going to be a defensive-heavy draft, and the Flames took all forwards. And I think even just looking at the, you know, the roster here at Dev Camp, they definitely need to add some defensemen. They've got a whole bunch that you mentioned who are probably going to be graduating in the next couple of years, so we definitely will need to in the next few grab one or two players who can be that next wave of defensemen.
Yeah, and a good idea here, because we're talking about defensemen specifically for the walk-on players, there was a couple of guys that stood out to me a bit. That would be Merrick Rippon, number 87, Braden Paschal, number 73, and Joel Lacusta, although him and Jake Christensen, but those, the latter two were both less so, I think could be guys that could earn either a tryout at, the Red Deer tournament against the Oilers, or an invite to training camp.
Yeah, I mean, you'd mentioned Paschal all week long. You'd notice him right from Friday. I don't know who, I'm trying to figure out who Valimaki's partner was in this, but that guy probably looked better than he should have.
Yeah, I think it was Paschal, but anyhow.
I think it was.
Yeah, but Rippon, he had a couple of good shots. Christensen, he is a little on the slower side, and if he can work that out, he thinks the game well, and if he can get his speed up, he could emerge as a solid prospect in his own right. And Lacusta, there's parts of his game that I like. The rest, they're there. Merzhetsko, Zylakov, Zamula, they were all there. Hamuluk, they were okay, but they didn't do enough, in my opinion, that where you need a second or a third look.
Merrick Rippon, like you said, looked really good. He scored a few of them, and he plays for the Ottawa 67s in the OHL. He's only 18 at 6'1", 192. I think when this guy gets as tree-like, say, man-sized, he might not be an NHL guy, but he could probably be a good guy to bring in this organization. And for all we know, he could be the next Mark Giordano, the free agent signing who actually does something.
Mm-hmm. And those guys are all players that if they wanted to, they could sign them right away, or might be guys that you look at drafting next year or something, or signing after the next draft.
Yeah, and I think it's, you know, or even do like Godden, where if they have a good season, you go after the midseason.
Mm-hmm.
And then moving to the goaltenders, the one guy, I guess, the only guy I was disappointed by today, Mason McDonald. I didn't think that McDonald looked as good as he should have for a guy who's played pro for a year.
Yeah, I agree. If I was to rank the four goaltenders that played, it would be Galata. Then probably the other walk-on goalie, Fazio. Then probably Nick Schneider, and then Mason McDonald.
Even. I'm pretty sure Fazio is the guy who let in a whole bunch of goals in the second half, though.
Yeah.
I was going to go Galata, Schneider, McDonald, Fazio.
Yeah.
I think Fazio looked good most of the week, but I think that coming into this, he was a little bit slow on the reaction time.
True. With the latter three, everybody but Galata, they all were kind of mediocre, in my opinion. So, you know, you could rank them in any which way. And, like, I don't see any NHL talent between any of the three. So, you might as well just, yeah. They're all kind of there, and yeah, I don't see...
I think even with McDonald and Schneider, there's not a lot of NHL talent.
No. Frankly, I think that like once their contracts are done, they'll be disappearing from the organization.
Could be, yeah. I could see... Well, I think from the Flames contracts...
They have to take several steps forward to even get their name in a consideration. Because, like, you look at Galata, you could just sign him as a free agent at the end of the year, and you've improved that, like, the guy after Gillies and Parsons in the organization. So, yeah. And there's always guys out there that are more talented than what those two guys have shown. They need to step up, or the Flames really should just move on.
Well, and that might be one of those things where knowing what these guys are and seeing where they're at, it might even give McDonald and or Schneider a little bit of motivation, knowing that, okay, there's guys out there who could easily, you know, replace us.
Yeah, and, like, yeah, the Flames have Parsons, the Flames have Reddick, the Flames have Gillies. So what? You know, there's 31 teams, and there's 62 spots in the NHL for goaltenders. So what if you have three players that are competing with you on this team? You should be trying to push to better yourself to be one of the 62, it doesn't matter what team you're on, because the Flames can always make trades or whatever. So, you know, and you're just not seeing that progression from any of those players, and that's the frustrating thing.
Yeah, well, and you and I have talked about it as well, and I really think that, you know, having too many goaltenders of all positions is not a bad thing. And
oh, no.
You can, if they don't walk away from them, you'll at least get somebody probably who will, you know, want them as a throw-in or want them in replacement of a low pick or something like that.
Yep.
So there's always somewhere you can use those guys. Any other thoughts on the rookie scrimmage today?
Not really. I think that there are some extremely talented players that are very raw with the Flames right now. And frankly, the Flames, for right this season, they wouldn't need anybody to come in anyway right now. So guys like, say, David Jankowski, who's a free agent who the Flames might be targeting moving forward, Kuzmantsis, Patterson, Philip or Svenningsen, Ruzicka, Roman, Popsil, these are all guys that they have a lot of raw talent to them. They also have a lot of flaws in their game that they have to work on. Most of them are just, they need to get stronger because they're small. So as we move forward with these guys, there is skill there. Whether they can put the parts that they're lacking together to flesh themselves out into legitimate players at the NHL level remains to be seen, but there's a lot of skill there that if they can get there, you're not talking about a fourth line grinder, you're talking about a potential top six forward. So with each of these guys, it's just they have to get there.
Yeah, and there's a lot of competition there. I mean, the guys you were mentioning, we see guys like Tuulola. We see guys like, you know, Zach Fisher, D'Artagnan Joly. The Flames have a lot of raw talent right now, and some of them just aren't going to make it. I mean, you know, fact of life is...
Oh, yeah, and most of them aren't. That's why I like how the Flames have been drafting, especially this past season. If any of them do turn out, they're going to be a really good player. And with the draft, like after the third round, like only like 12-15% of any pick from that point forward actually play 100 games. So if you're rolling the dice and getting one of your guys to actually matter, getting a guy who profiles to be a top six forward that matters, that's just found money, basically, because those guys are so hard to acquire through free agency, through trades, through wherever, that if you can find one that is a legitimate top six forward for a third, a fourth, a fifth, a sixth, a seventh round pick, hey, that's awesome. And if more than one turn out, even better.
And I think in the era that we're in now with the salary cap, especially as the Flames are getting more high-end talent, you're going to end up having it to the point where, you know, even if these guys don't play 100 games, you need cheap talent you can just rotate out on the bottom six. So we might see some of these guys get, you know, 50 games here, 70 games there, but they're good enough that they can play 5 minutes a night.
Well, look at Chicago. Like, they had to shed parts every year, and it wasn't until this past season that they ran into major problems. But they always had room for good young players to come in, and that's what the Flames will have to do eventually, is shed some key players and have guys that are at this camp or previous camps come in and actually be able to play. And the opportunities are there. The players have to seize those and say, hey, I'm going to be the next impact player for the Flames. And it's on them. And the Flames are always going to show an opportunity, you know, give opportunities to players. If you can play, come on in.
Yeah, I think, like you said, there's just a lot of guys here who are raw, and we'll see how they develop. And Tree even said it to us on Friday when we talked to him, that a lot of it's just about becoming man-sized, just waiting for some of these guys to go from men to boys. And that's really what we're waiting for. See how some of them, it's just about physically filling out.
Yeah. Well, most of the guys they drafted were like 5'8", 5'9", 5'10". So, once they get up to like 180, 190 with their weight, they'll be a little bit harder to play against.
So we'll see what happens there. But anyone who wasn't able to come to the training camp, you can watch the scrimmage as well as all of our video footage from the first couple days on the YouTube channel. For those of you that were there, thanks for coming out. Some of you stopped to say hi to us, and we always appreciate hearing from you guys. And if you have any questions about what we saw or any players, feel free to hit us up on Twitter, on Facebook, anywhere that we converse with you guys. So, Matt, I think that probably does it for this, and we probably won't talk again about Flames hockey till unless there's some other big trade, which I can't see. We probably won't talk again until late August.
Yep, then we'll be previewing both the Edmonton tournament, Calgary going to China, and the upcoming training camp. So lots to look forward to.
It's interesting just being around the Flames people in the last little bit about the mixed feelings on China. I think everyone's excited by it, but they realize that, you know, it's going to be a crazy trip. It's going to be, you know, a lot of jet lag. It's kind of interesting the difference in opinion as we've talked to people.
Yeah, well, they'll definitely be fish out of water for at least a few days anyway.
Yeah, and then they've got to go...
It'll be a new experience, so...
They've got to go pretty much from one side of the country to the other. It's like playing a game in Vancouver and then a game in Toronto.
Probably even, like, more distant than that, even.
And I guess there's a lot of buses.
Yeah. They'll have fun.
All right, well, you have a great one, Matt. Have a good summer, and we'll talk to you when we get closer to hockey. It's weird talking about hockey in early July.
Yep, thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great summer, and we'll be back at it soon enough for more Fireside Chat.
After the scrimmage on the final day of camp, we talked to Philip Svenningsson, the Calgary Flames' 2017 seventh-round pick, number 202 overall.
So, Philip, training camp's over now.
Yeah.
It's been an interesting weekend here. What would you say is your biggest takeaway from this camp?
I got to learn so much stuff, you know. Usually I'm playing on the big rink, and here was small rink, of course, you know.
Take some adjustment?
Yeah, you got to be quick, like one step ahead all the time, and I probably would say that.
Just learning to play on that NHL size ice.
Yeah, of course.
Was there anyone that came into this camp that you didn't know that really impressed you, that you were leaving going, oh, wow, that guy's interesting?
Not really. I, like, knowed a few of the guys left from last year, and I know Emilio from before. We played together in a small tournament. Linus, the Swedish other guy, met him last year, so I kind of knew all the guys from before.
Brad Treliving has put your name out there coming into this camp as one of the guys he thinks has improved both his body, his skills, that sort of thing. What have you been doing before you got here to really, I guess, get yourself to that point where the GM's taking notice?
I've been working really hard off ice. I've been practicing with HG71. And then, you know, the coaching staff there are really good. They know what's good for me. Hopefully I got a little bit bigger since last year. And
you're looking bigger.
Yeah. just got so much help from them. Really appreciate it.
For Flames fans that don't know you as much, they haven't seen a lot of you, who would you compare yourself to, or how would you describe your game?
Probably not easy to compare yourself to Peter Forsberg, but I try to play my game like him.
Okay.
Like, be tough, skilled, try to make plays. Peter Forsberg on that one.
What do you feel that you need to do to take yourself to that next level to actually push for an NHL job?
Probably be stronger on the puck. On the small rink, you always have one guy on your back, and you always have to be prepared, strong on the puck, and like be a little bit faster, because I'm used to that big rink. Just need to be used to that small rink. So,
do you have rinks of this size where back home that you can practice on, or is it only when you come over here?
Probably only when I come over here. Usually the big rinks.
So you're going home now? Are you staying in Calgary for the summer? What are the plans?
I'm staying 1 or 2 weeks here.
Okay.
Hopefully I will learn a lot more, even if I learned really much. And I think that will help me to get ready for the start with a new team back home in Sweden. 1 or 2 weeks.
Okay, well, hopefully you can enjoy the Stampede while you're here.
Yeah, hopefully.
It's a lot of fun.
Thanks
a lot. Go, go, go! Go, go, go!
So we're here on the final day of training camp with Dylan Dubé. Dylan, you were you looked really good out there. Obviously, had some chemistry with Matthew Phillips. You guys have seen each other in juniors quite a bit. What can you tell us about Matt?
It's pretty easy to play with. I think he makes me look a lot better. And you know, when he had the puck, sometimes I wasn't involved. I was a little zoned out just watching him play. It was pretty incredible, some of the rushes he had. And it's a lot of fun knowing him, skating with him the summer too. I think maybe we had a little more chemistry because we're always together. But I think that helps, and it made it a lot of fun.
You got 6 games in Stockton this past season. What, going from the junior to the pro ranks, what do you find, or what do you think over this summer you're going to have to change in your game to be able to play there regularly?
Yeah, I think I fit in well at the end of the year. I think I was really confident in my game and felt like I could play there for sure. I think have a big summer and get even better because I want to go there and be a top player on the team and get a chance to be with the Flames. So obviously my goal is to go there and, you know, well, hopefully at one point I don't even have to go there. So that's my goal this summer and get a lot stronger and see what happens.
Just want to follow up on that sense that you and Matthew have. It goes without saying, you've played against each other, you work out, you've been friends forever. But when you're out on the ice, can you maybe speak to that sense and that chemistry that sometimes maybe it's communications, maybe it's just knowing where the other is?
Yeah, I think some days, sometimes out there today, I think we're fighting with each other a little bit. Not personally, like we are, one guy wanted the puck, we were taking it. I think we were a little too excited. In the summer, we have the same color jerseys on, so we always get out there together. And it's a lot of fun, you know, when there's no crowd around or no media or anything. It's a little more fun because we can kind of try a little more stuff and no one watching. So it's pretty fun to be with him. It definitely pushes me to be able to do more because I'm not expecting passes at certain points. And being with a player like that, it makes you better.
Fireside Chat is hosted by Dan Stevenson, co-hosted by Matt DeBorg. This episode produced and edited by Peter Marino. Fireside Chat is licensed under a Creative Commons license. For full license details, visit firesidechat.ca.